Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching from John chapter 9, the Gospel of John chapter 9. And the title of the message is, I Was Blind, Now I See. I was blind, now I see. And I'm taking that title from verse 25 of John chapter 9. This is the account of Christ giving a blind man, a man who had been blind from birth, giving him eyes to see. And this was the blind man's testimony at one point in this account, in verse 25, as the Pharisees and the religionists were questioning him about his being able to see, because everybody knew that this man was born blind. He was blind from birth. And when they questioned him about Christ and how he was, about Jesus of Nazareth and how he was healed, it says in verse 25 of John 9, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no. They claimed that Christ was a sinner. Now, Christ was not a sinner. But their view of that was that a person who was a sinner was separate from them and therefore not in the kingdom of God, not in the family of God, not worthy of it, as they thought they were. And they were questioning him about who Jesus was and what he claimed to be. And this man didn't know. All he knew is this. He says, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I know this. That's what he's saying. Now, this is one of the miracles of Christ. You know, as the Lord Jesus walked this earth in his earthly ministry, for those 3.5 years that we have recorded in the gospel narratives, he went about performing miracles, different kinds of miracles. And one of the greatest of all the miracles was the healing of those who had infirmities, such as the making the blind see, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, all of that, healing lame people. And many times it was on the Sabbath. Well, here's a man whom Christ gave physical sight. And later on, we're going to see he also gave the man spiritual sight. And let me say this about the miracles of Jesus. The miracles of Jesus were not an end in and of themselves. Christ did not come into the world to heal people physically. Even though he did that, that was not his purpose. The miracles that he performed were testimonies of several things. Number one, of his deity. Because only God can heal. Now, he may use human beings in the healing process, but it's ultimately God that heals. I often tell people about, you know, there are some false religionists who claim to be Christian who say that it's a sin to go see a doctor or something like that because you're supposed to depend upon God. Well, my friend, God uses doctors. He uses medicines. He uses operations, all of that. Now, you may be healed, you may not be healed. That's up to him. But God is the ultimate healer. So the miracles of Jesus testified of his deity. He is God manifest in the flesh. And so when any of the prophets of God or the apostles had the gifts of healing back in the day when the New Testament began, before the Word of God came together, those gifts, they attested that they said, "This is of God, not of me." You know, when When Peter, for example, I think when he healed a person, they came and they bowed down to Peter, and he said, no, don't bow down to me. I'm just like the medicine. I'm just like the doctor who performed the operation. God is the one who heals. But Christ is the great healer. He's called the great physician. And in a spiritual sense, you remember what he said? The whole need not a physician. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Sinners, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that's spiritual healing. That's the healing that he gives his people in salvation. So that's what the miracles are for. Also, the miracles were illustrations of how God saves sinners. For example, when he healed lame people, made them walk. That's an illustration of how he gives us spiritual legs to walk by faith, walk in the ways of God. When he gave people, deaf people, the gift of physical hearing, that's a spiritual illustration of spiritual hearing, giving people ears to hear. I talked about that last week, those who hear God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then here in John 9, the giving the blind man sight. He gave other people sight. There's a man named Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus. He healed him and gave him sight, physical sight. That's an illustration of how he gives us who are blind by nature, which is all of us, he gives those whom he saves spiritual sight to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When he healed people of leprosy, that's a perfect illustration of how he heals us from the problem of sin, which runs throughout everything we do and are. He heals us from the leprosy of sin spiritually. Now, there's another thing that you need to understand. Not everyone whom he healed physically were healed spiritually. There's one story where Christ healed, I think, 10 lepers. And they walked away and only one returned to glorify him and to worship him. Many that he healed physically were not healed spiritually, were not saved. For example, many of the 5,000 that he fed with loaves and fishes were not fed spiritually with the gospel, the bread of life. Many were. But some of them turned away later on. They were never saved. So don't think that just because Christ healed a person physically, that means they were saved. Many of them were. You've got to read the whole context. Now this man here, who was blind from birth, Christ healed him both physically and spiritually, but not at the same time. He healed him first physically, and then he healed him spiritually. But one of the things we can see is this illustration of how this man, in his physical ailment, his physical blindness, is a picture of all of us by nature. Look at verse 1 of John 9. It says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth." This man was born blind. And that's the way we are by nature. We fell in Adam into a state of sin and death and depravity. We're blind spiritually. Deaf spiritually. Spiritually dead. The Bible says, "You hath he," if you're born again, "you hath he quickened," given life, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." And so just like this blind man who was blind from birth, that's what we are by nature. We fell in Adam into a state of sin, death, and depravity. Spiritually blind. Now, spiritual blindness is the darkness and ignorance of not knowing God, not knowing Christ, not knowing ourselves, and thinking that we can do something by the way of our works, our character, or our decisions to make ourselves right with God. You know, the Pharisees were religious, and they claimed to be children of God. They weren't. They were unbelievers. They didn't know God. They didn't know Christ. And you remember what Christ said of them? They were the blind leading the blind, and they all fall in the ditch together. Well, what were they doing to lead as blind men leading the blind? They were teaching sinners to seek righteousness by their works under the law. Now, only a spiritually blind person would do that. You see, the gospel teaches that salvation is not by our works of righteousness under the law. That's darkness. That's deception. That's ignorance. That's actually idolatry. Because the God who accepts that in your mind, He's an idol. He's not the God of the Bible. The gospel teaches that salvation is by the righteousness of another, the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. And it's by His obedience unto death on the cross, redeeming His people by His blood, that brings forth the righteousness that we need to be justified, to be regenerated. The Bible says the body is dead because of sin. This is Romans 8:10. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. Well, where am I going to find righteousness? Not by my works, not by my character, not by my decisions, not within myself. The only place I'm going to find righteousness is in Christ. Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law, the fulfillment, perfection, completion, establishment, and fulfilling of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And those who believe are those who have been given spiritual sight to see the value of the glorious person of Christ and the finished work of Christ. Christ saves His people from their sins. He didn't try to save them. He's not out there trying to save people. He saved His people. And He will have them. They're His sheep. They're God's elect. They're the church. They're His brethren. All of them for whom He died shall be saved. They'll be given spiritual sight. You say, well, am I one of those? Well, do you see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? Do you believe the gospel? Are you concerned for your soul? Are you interested in what the Bible says? So any preacher, listen, any preacher who stands before people and tells them that Christ died for everybody and that salvation is conditioned on what you do or what you decide, my friend, that's the blind leading the blind. And if that persists until death, you fall in the ditch together. Get away from that. That's what I'm telling you. Come to hear the gospel. Come to believe the gospel. Well, this man was blind from birth. Well, look at verse 2 of John 9. It says, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, what they're expressing there is what man naturally thinks. People naturally think that if somebody's going through some type of adversity or suffering from some problem, for the most part, and I know not everybody thinks this way, but basically you think this way, that there's something wrong. This person's done something bad, or his parents has done something bad. In other words, why is this guy blind? What'd he do? Did he sin or did his parents sin? And the thing that's wrong about that is this, we're all sinners. We've all by nature rejected God and rejected Christ. We all deserve the worst we can get. We've all earned the worst we can get. Christ taught that. Read about it in Luke chapter 13. He talked about those Jews who came to worship God and they were slaughtered by Pilate's army soldiers, and he talked about a natural disaster, the Tower of Siloam falling down on people and killing them, just like natural disasters, like we have hurricanes and tornadoes. And he said, "Do you suppose that those who died were more deserving were greater sinners than those who didn't die? People usually say yes. He said, not so. He said, except you repent, you'll likewise perish. We all deserve that. So Christ sets them straight. Listen to what he says in verse 3. And this is amazing. Now, I know people don't like this because there's a lot of people who say, well, if something happens that's good, that's God. If something happens that's bad, that's the devil. Not so. Listen to what he says in verse 3. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now, when he says, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, he's not saying this man is not a sinner like you and me, or his parents were not sinners like you and me. He's simply saying that the reason this fellow is blind is not because his parents did sin or he sinned. We're all sinners now. But he said the reason this man was born blind was because of God's purpose and plan to manifest the glory and power of God in Christ through this man. Now, how old was this fellow? He was an adult. We know that. Because his parents said that when they came to his parents and asked him questions about what had happened. His parents told him, he said, you read the whole chapter of John. His parents told him, said, well, you go ask him. He's of age. He can answer for himself. He doesn't need us to answer for him. So I don't know how long this man had been blind, but he was an adult. And all that time, he was born blind. Why? Because God purposed it that way, to manifest his glory in Christ through this man's healing. And he said in verse 4, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. What he's saying, it's time for me to work. There's coming a time and I'm going away. And he said, it's time for me to do this work. He says in verse 5, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. We've talked about that back over in the book of John. He said much about Christ is the light. John 4, the water of life. John 5, the bread of life. John 6, the light of the world. Now that light, when he's talking about, is the gospel, wherein he's revealed in the glory of his person and the power of his finished work. And so he said in verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and he anointed, spread the clay on the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation is sent. Send him there. And he said, he went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. He did what Christ told him to do. Somebody said, well, see, he had the choice. He didn't have to wash. Let me tell you something. This was the purpose and the plan of God. This man was going to wash. Christ made him willing to wash with the clay spread over his eyes. You know, this is what people don't understand today. That by nature, we're unwilling to be saved God's way. But that God, in his power and in his purpose and in his plan and in his providence, always makes his people willing in the day of his power. That's what he does. Somebody told me one time, he said, well, you preach that God saves us against our will. No, I don't. Now, I'll say it this way. I will agree it this way. He saves us against our natural, fallen, sinful wills. But the way God saves us, he gives us a new will. He makes us willing. He draws us with cords of love. But it's not just some general syrupy kind of love. It's not some universal love that you can turn down. He makes us willing with cords of love that sent his son to satisfy his justice on our behalf. And so this man went down. And it says in verse 8, the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, they said, is not this he that sat and begged? He was not only a blind, but he was a beggar. Couldn't make a living. Verse 9, some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. But he said, and the man said, well, oh, no, that's me. That's me. In verse 10, therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? And then he told them how Jesus of Nazareth came, put the clay on his eyes and told him to go wash. And he said, and they asked, well, where is Christ? He said, I don't know. Now, they bring him to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, they question him. They do their thing. You know, they hated Jesus of Nazareth. They rejected the gospel. And it says in verse 14, they question him. And it says in verse 14, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Oh, my goodness. It was on their Sabbath. And so they began to put Jesus down as a lawbreaker, as a sinner, as a false preacher, because he broke their Sabbath. Now, my friends, and you could, there's so many verses here, you can read all of this. But what a perversion of the law that they had. The Sabbath. Now, under the Old Covenant, for 1,500 years, from Sinai to the cross, there were Sabbath days. There's the weekly seventh-day Sabbath. It was on the end of the week, not the first. It wasn't Sunday. And that calendar had not even come into being yet. And there were weekly Sabbath. There were monthly Sabbath. There were yearly Sabbaths. There was a Jubilee Sabbath. All of that. All of those Sabbaths were times of rest from their labors. And those Sabbaths were pictures of the spiritual, eternal, final rest that true believers have in Christ. What is the Christian Sabbath? It's not Sunday. No. The Christian Sabbath is Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. We rest in Christ. It's not a day under the new covenant. Now, we worship God on the first day of the week. That's called the Lord's Day in the sense. Every day is the Lord's Day. But in the sense of that's the day that we set aside to meet together as a congregation of believers to worship God. But it's not our Sabbath. Our Sabbath is Christ. Read Hebrews chapter 4 for that. I've preached on that on this program, and I've preached on it a lot at our church. Christ is our Sabbath. Those days and years and months and all of that, that was a picture of Christ. But even their Sabbath, they had turned it into a legal system of works. And made it so that you could do certain things, you could do this, you couldn't do that. Well, first of all, even the Sabbath day, God never prohibited performing acts of necessity or acts of mercy. So they were wrong. Christ did not break the Sabbath. Now, Christ was under the old covenant. He had to keep the old covenant law. He had to keep that Sabbath time. Because he had to keep the law perfectly. He told him in Matthew chapter 5, I didn't come to break the law. I came to keep the law in every jot and tittle. But they accused him of breaking the law because he healed a man on the Sabbath. Well, that wasn't breaking the law. Because, as I said, the law never prohibited acts of mercy and acts of necessity on the Sabbath. So Christ didn't break the law, but they accused him of, because in their sick, ignorance, blindness, in their own blindness, in their own legalism, they wanted to discredit him. So they asked the man's parents, about Christ. The parents, they said, well, ask him. And it says, look down at verse 24 now. This is John 9:24. Then again called they the man that was blind, and they said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Don't look to Christ. Don't give him the praise. Give God the praise. Well, You can't praise God without praising Christ. They didn't know that. But he answered, verse 25, as I told you at the beginning of the program. This is where I got the title from. He said, whether he be a sinner or no, whether he be lost or whatever, I know not, he said. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And so they asked him, they said to him again, What did he do thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he answered, this is verse 27. He answered, I told you already, and you did not hear. Not only were they blind, but they were spiritually deaf. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? The man's kind of chiding them. You're so interested. Do you want to follow him too? And verse 20 says, then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we're Moses' disciples. We keep the law. You follow him, Jesus, the lawbreaker. That's their view. He wasn't a lawbreaker. But he said, we keep the law. Well, they didn't keep the law. Back in John chapter 5, he said, Moses, in whom you trust, the law, it'll be your judge. You say you live by the law, you'll die by the law. Galatians 3:10, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. The law the law brings in everybody guilty. You see, the only way that we can measure up to the perfection of the law is in the righteousness of Christ. Well, they excommunicated the man. Well, later on, Christ came back to him and revealed himself as the Son of God incarnate, the Savior, the Messiah, the righteousness of God. And the man fell down and worshiped him. Not only did Christ heal him physically, of physical blindness, he healed him spiritually of spiritual blindness. I was blind, now I see. That's the testimony of every true child of God who've been brought to faith in Christ. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.